In that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There was an article in a magazine after the Second World War, some years after it. The name of the article was Give Us Some of Your Men, supposedly written in Germany. And there are more boy babies born than girl babies. They die younger. And we feed young men to the god of war, so to speak. And this will be the condition here. At this particular point in history, there will be few men left. A man came back from, I believe it was Paraguay once. This picture was shown at Sister Bodie's, and it, or Brother Copley's, I mean to say, and it, some things about it were comical. The missionary that took the picture said there had been so many of the, I'll say Paraguay, it may have been Uruguay, I've forgotten. So many of the men killed that the women and the boys ran the country, and a funny thing about it, the women smoked black cigars. And he said that when he went there, that the men were 15-year-old boys. It could have described the local condition there, but I feel that it will be future. The next verse says, in that day, notice that twice here, and in that the second verse definitely refers to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will be prominent. And there will be places in the earth where the masculine side of the population will be very thin. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. Now I have spoken at different times on the branch. Four ways he's spoken of as the branch. Here the branch of the Lord, the branch of David, the man whose name is the branch, and Jehovah's servant the branch. These are all scriptures. I have dwelt on that in times past and will not cover it. Fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Every one that is written among the living, written unto life, some translated, and others even translated, written unto eternal life. And here's what will happen when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. You see, this prophecy that we read in the latter part of the third chapter was spoken primarily concerning the daughters of Zion. Now, in regards to dress, I'll just throw this in passing. The New Testament doesn't have much to say about dress. It uses the word modest, and that which is becoming and suitable. Now, if you were to endeavor to dress, like say back in the turn of the century when it was considered a sin for a woman to have a dress on with a sleeve above her wrist or with a hemline above the ankles, well, you would draw more adverse attention than you would the other way around. So dress with common modesty, say scripturally. The Bible, the New Testament does not prohibit the use of slacks for women. I used to say that it did, but it doesn't. The statement that speaks of man, not a woman not wearing man's attire is back in the book of Deuteronomy. And if I ever get confronted like I have at times strongly by that, I'll ask them if they obey the rest of it. Deuteronomy also gives a man the privilege when he went to Jerusalem, he's too far to carry this stuff, so he sells it and he goes to Jerusalem and he spends it for whatever thy soul lusteth after, strong drink included. Read it for yourself if you want to look it up in Deuteronomy. So let's say we dress what is fitting for the occasion. If you should go to a meeting where those things are condemned, endeavor to cooperate. A young woman went to a meeting and got saved. In a holiness meeting, she had beautiful hair. And one night she came to church and didn't have much hair. And everybody withdrew their fellowship, ostracized her, and she didn't know what it was all about. And she said, You have this all wrong. She said, I had on a wig the night I got saved. She said, This is the way my hair was all the time. Now, my daughter-in-law was in a church in the South where the little girl told her she was going to go to Hale because she had on a ring. Well, for their sake, she quit wearing the ring, even though it was her wedding ring. And so, don't stumble, people. As India said to me one time when I asked him why he didn't serve beef, he said, There are 250 million Hindus in India that hold the cow semi-sacred, and if you're going to have any testimony among them, you can't eat beef. So, work for the occasion, dress for the occasion. I like to see people dress in a dress, or women at church, but once in a while, somebody comes to our church and slacks. I never say anything. I have a friend that pastors a church. He had a Bible teacher. And a woman came to the Sunday school class with slacks. Well, it was the first time there. And when he got through, he never did come back. Now, if I were deadly opposed to slacks, and she was there for the first time, I would use a little judgment. I wouldn't say a word about it. You gain somebody's influence, or their confidence, I mean to say, and then you can influence them. But you just take a stranger. He's got just as much authority as I have. So we have to use a little judgment there and do so. And do that which is best for the occasion, which is most to the glory of God, not just a matter of drawing attention to ourselves. Well, I've been looking down all the time. We're 10 minutes. In the fourth verse of the fourth chapter, we read about the Lord purging the filth and the blood, the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create it. Now here is something that's going to be different. It'll be somewhat doubtless like the glory cloud of old. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. I'll cite you for just a moment to the 32nd chapter. I like this passage. It's been precious to me for many years. The first two verses of the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, that's what I want you to notice, shall be for an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That man will be Christ. Pilate said, behold the man. Then you will notice this in the fifth chapter of Micah. We noticed it when we went through there earlier in the year. But he said, the fifth verse, this man shall be for the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land. This man. And back here, behold a man. I read that in connection with the covert from the storm.